No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill, and today is the 24th day of November. Welcome, everyone. I'm Jill, the welcoming committee here, and I'm here to welcome you. And welcome you, each and every one. I do. This is a safe space. I'm so glad that you made your way here. And we're winding our way through this month and through this year together in the Word in chronological order. Wow. Can you even believe what a year it's been? And that this year is the majority of the way through. I'm going to stop there, because I could probably go on and on and on about that. But you guys have just a couple of days left to get your Thanksgiving global campfire stories in. How has the Bible transformed your life? We want to hear from each of you. And if you're like, yeah, I keep meaning to do that, today is the day that you should do that before we run out of time. Because it's almost turkey time. And after turkey, you'll be too tired to remember. So, do it while you can. Today, we begin the book of Galatians. We're reading the first three chapters of Galatians. And we started a brand new week. We're in a brand new translation. This week, we're reading the Christian Standard Bible. Galatians, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and to all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had been apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy," and they glorified God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to a revelation and presented to them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those recognized as leaders. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Now, from those recognized as important, what they once were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised, since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, those recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only that we would remember the poor, which I had made every effort to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned, for he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, "If you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard, just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness? You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed through you." Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, "Everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed." Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers and sisters, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to a validated human will. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, "and to his seeds," as though referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your seed," who is Christ. My point is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise, but God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. Why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator. Now a mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Okay, there's a lot to talk about and there's a lot to catch up on, but I need you to do something if you haven't done it. If you have not listened to the book of James within this weekend's reading, I'm going to give you time to catch up on it today so that we can catch up on the weekend and catch up on today starting tomorrow. We cannot miss the book of James reading, even though it falls on the weekend, because these are the words of the brother of Jesus. And they hit differently when you understand that. And we need to talk about it. So, if you haven't listened, listen, and we're going to break all this down tomorrow. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you didn't do. But we can so easily write in who you were not and what you didn't do when we do not fully understand who you are. Forgive us. Help us. We want to tell the truth of the story of who you are, and we can only do this when we know you as the truth of who you are. Lead us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. Take a look around. Download it if you haven't. Send it to a friend. Check us out. Anything you want to know about the Daily Audio Bible, not everything, but pretty much everything, you can find it out there on the website. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. And we are so, so grateful that we don't have to. If you are giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, if you would like to share with the community what you believe God has answered through the prayers of his people, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or, once again, utilizing that app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that wheel over to chronological to ensure it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. We're going to turn the page together. Lord willing, when the creek don't rise, if we all show up here together, we will be here together. And we're going to backtrack just a little bit. We're going to talk about James. We're going to get caught up. And then we'll be all on the same page together. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Chronological. Behind in my listening, and definitely behind in prayers for my family, DAB family, C family, but just wanted to give praise with Greg that his wife, Denise's surgery went well and that she is healing. Praise for the gentleman from Baltimore, Maryland, whose dissertation went well. Just wanted to give praise to God for both of those things. Joy in North Carolina, your son John had a hearing. It was the Monday after the 21st for a probation, and he was in North Dakota. Just wanted to pray that he would continue to follow God's will, that he would show forth fruit, and that he would serve God, whether he's whatever is going on in his life. Just pray for healing for you, continued healing in the loss of your son, even though it was years ago. And just wanted to lift up your son, John, that God's will would be done in his life and that he would follow him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength and love others as himself. Just wanted to remind you guys just to forgive, not to be offended, not to hold grudges, but to forgive with your whole heart as Christ forgave us, and love others as yourself. Love all of you guys. And this community is great. Thank you, Joe and Brian, and Ezekiel and all of the Harden family. And just thank you for everything. Love you guys.
Hey, my incredible DABC fam. This is KSD. I just want to lift up some of our DABCers. Father, I lift up comedian girl who is struggling with regulating her emotions and it's causing a strain to the marriage. Will you give her comfort and healing to her emotions and her mind? Would you go to the root of the situation and pluck it up so that she will be stable in her emotions and in her mind so that the marriage can continue to thrive? Then, Lord, I pray for Joy in Idaho, who wants help with her attitude. I thank you for her desire to want to see transformation happen in her and through her. So, Father, will you regulate her emotions as well? Whatever is causing the breakdown for the attitude, whatever pain or trauma from the past is causing her to tap into a place of failure, which results in broken speech, I pray that you would heal those deepest parts of her being. And I pray that you would restore her to speak life to herself as well as to those that she's in relationship with at work and otherwise. And then for Mrs. Smith in St. Louis, aka Rising Above My Circumstances, she was supposed to have shoulder surgery, Lord, but she has learned about small strokes, which is causing a lot of pain. And she doesn't want to see the anxiety come back or the depression. Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord, our healer. Be that for Mrs. Smith. Be that for this sister to rise above her circumstances. Heal her of those strokes. Heal her of depression and anxiety, and restore her in Jesus' name. Amen.